9 o'clock hour, fist pump time on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Oh, Aiden's not doing it. No, you can't do it now. That's too late.
I think it was my fault because I was telling him to adjust. I told him I was standing, so he was adjusting the camera.
Oh, does he need two hands to do that?
Yeah.
You know? No, I don't think so.
He does, actually.
Aiden? Bobby, shut up. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Bobby Bell, and Peyton is giving the thumbs up that we have friend of the show, the baseball electricity, a former baseball general manager, Steve Phillips, on the home of the Rangers. Rangers have got going after the All-Star break, and they'll get going with the Atlanta Braves tonight on this station with a 6:30 pregame, first pitch at 7 o'clock. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you.
Have you changed your opinion on the Rangers after the All-Star break?
You know, I kept thinking they have a run in them, and because I think their offense is better than what they've shown. So, yeah, I believe that they were going to make a run and that they'd have a shot to get into it. And it's just been such a weird year for them because they've not hit when I think we all thought one of the things they would do would be to hit. And their bullpen has been better than I think any of us would have anticipated, considering that, you know, they didn't make any big moves in the bullpen. And so it's been an interesting year for them, and I don't know really what to expect, but, you know, I do like the track record of some of the players there that makes me believe that they do have a run to try to get back to the playoffs.
Steve, since June 7th, they're number one in baseball in runs per game. It's like 5.4. You know, that's not nothing. It's over a month. It's almost a month and a half. Like, how long do you go before you change your perception on what your team is this late in the season?
Yeah, I think I think you just have to go with it. If it's changing, that's enough of a track record for me to say, you know what, we're finding our stride right now. We're catching our stride. We're going to get back into this thing and make a run. And so, and plus, you know, with DeGrom and Eovaldi, you've got two guys who really, you know, give you a chance every time they go out there to compete to win a game and a real chance to win those games. And so, you know, I think that. You know, I would still keep an open mind. I thought Naylor would have been a good fit for them at first base. But, you know, they didn't go that direction with it. I think they're going to try to get some pitching still. But I do expect Chris Young to be very aggressive here at the deadline.
Steve, when you were making decisions nearing a deadline, let's say you were kind of on the fence about, you know, buying, selling, or holding, and I guess how you're familiar with other general managers approaching it. When there are a number of buyers and not many sellers like it feels like right now, would that ever help push you in the direction of we might be able to take advantage of the number of buyers?
Yeah, I think that obviously supply and demand matters. Economics 101, it's real. It's real when it comes to money and the economy, and it's real in baseball. And so I do think that you know, if you're a seller and you've got a bunch of buyers out there, it's a pretty good place to be. And yet, on the other hand, when there aren't that many sellers out there, then I think as a buyer, you know that if you get a player, it's a game of keep away. It means you got them and the other team didn't, and they're not going to get a guy that's as good as what you got in a deal. And so you're looking for third base. If you get Eugenio Suarez, you got by far the best third baseman anybody's going to get. And if you're competing with somebody else who needs the same thing you do, when you get the better player, you get the benefit of that guy to help your team, but also the ability to keep that player from going to your closest competition.
Former Mets GM Steve Phillips hosts his daily show, The Leadoff Spot, every morning on SiriusXM's MLB Network radio channel and on MLB Network, and he joins us now on Sean and RJ. You mentioned that you thought Naylor would have been a good fit for Texas. He obviously got moved. Is there anybody else you look out there on the trade market right now and you say, man, that pairing, that guy with the Rangers would be a really good fit for them and help push them forward?
Yeah, so like Ryan Helsley would be a good fit at the end of the game. I think that I want to get a proven closer at the end of the game if I can. And so a guy like Helsley would be a great acquisition for him. Honestly, Nathaniel Lowe wouldn't be the worst guy to bring back to play first base if you're looking for somebody to do that. I think Suarez can also play first base, but I think they need to be in the pitching market, whether it's a Merrill Kelly or somebody like that. I would think they should jump in and get, it doesn't have to be the ace, but you need a third predictable guy to be in. And I want some experience in it too, to be part of it. That's where I would look to do it. I think with Chris Young being a former pitcher himself, I think his priority, he's going to look to prioritize, I think, getting some pitching here at the deadline.
So you would absolutely lean into the run prevention as opposed to maybe going for the offense if you had to pick the one?
I you know, where do you play the guy is really the thing. Uh-huh. And, you know, if with Naylor off the board at first base, you know, then it comes down to who are you sitting on your team to be able to you know, get the playing time in. And so that's really the question I have. And so you could look for somebody, I guess, first base, but you know, I think Lowe's the one guy, and I'm not sure that that's my priority. I'd rather get pitching for it. And in the end, you can add a bat, but if your good hitters don't hit, it's not going to be enough, right? And I've been in positions like that. Like, I can go get somebody, but if our good players don't play well, then we're not going anywhere. And I think that's really got to be the emphasis, that if that lineup doesn't hit, they're not going to win. And so, but adding one guy, not necessarily going to spark everybody else. I think they just need to get fixed within, and then I think focus more on the pitching.
Steve Phillips joining us here, 105.3. The Fan. Have you seen the American League as wide open as it is right now, like in the last 20 years?
No, it is really wide open. Listen, the National League has so many better teams than the American League does. It just does. I look at all of the talented teams in the National League, and I think in the American League, there's some good teams, but you know, they're not as powerful, or you know, they're winning games. But I look at the Detroit Tigers, and I'm still trying to figure out how the heck they do it. I know they did it. You know, it's so unconventional that it makes you think that it can't keep going, because nobody does it that way. And yet they've been able to make it work, although they've hit the skids now, losing 10 of 11. I think the American League is wide open. I really do. I think that, you know, once everybody gets into the playoffs, I think they all have a pretty decent chance of advancing.
Steve, you know, when we look at the AL West right now, and, you know, you mentioned the Naylor trade and Seattle making a move like that. Does that, when you're in tight quarters like that, does that force you any more, or does it get you itching a little more to start picking up the phone when somebody does make a move within the division? Or do you have to just view things kind of in a vacuum on your own and how your own team looks?
No, it's hard. Listen, you're human. It's hard not to feel the pressure of doing something when your closest competition has done something. And I'll tell you, the idea of, you know, what it feels like is, if you've ever sat in a car in a traffic jam and you sort of look down, but you feel like all of a sudden you feel like you're rolling backwards. And then you look out and realize, well, you're not rolling backwards. You're really at a stop, but the cars next to you are rolling forward, but it gives you the feeling of that you're moving backwards. That's what it feels like at the deadline when the teams around you make deals. It doesn't feel like you're staying the same and they're getting better. It makes you feel like you're getting worse. That's the feeling, the illusion that you get when that is the case. And so there's been years where teams said, oh, we're just going to stand with what we have. We don't want to disrupt the chemistry. I'm like, no. You need to do something. Doesn't have to be big, but you have to do something so it doesn't feel like you're rolling backwards.
Steve, are you getting the feeling or hearing that this is it for Bochy?
I'm wondering if it is. It feels like it might be that, you know, he's, you know, going to give it the 3-year run and see what happens with it. So, I mean, we don't know for sure. I mean, he hasn't said, and I certainly haven't heard from him about it, but I wouldn't be shocked if this is the final year. He came back for 3, and he's going to make one last hurrah to be able to get there. But, you know, and it would be a shame because he's very good at what he does.
Let me put the Rangers in the playoffs and ask you to follow up. With DeGrom and Eovaldi, give me where you put the Rangers of the teams you want to see in the postseason in the American League. You can be honest and say, I still want them. They can't score enough. They don't have the bullpen. Like, who else are you? Who else would you rather not face than the Rangers with those two in the rotation?
Right. You know, Seattle's got the young guns there too, the Logan Gilberts and Brian Woos that are pretty good to be able to compete against. You know, Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown, pretty good matchup right there. And you've got, you know, an experience factor. But again, I think DeGrom is, when healthy, is one of the best pitchers in baseball still. One of the best. But so is Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez. Those two guys have carried the load there. You know, Fried and Rodon is, you know, Rodon worries me for the Yankees. I don't think he's that good. And the Blue Jays, you know, the Blue Jays have Gausman and Barrios and you know, they got Chris Bassett, but I like the other starting pitchers better. But I think the Blue Jays don't have the best starter or the best closer, but 1 through 12, they throw a lot of quality innings. But in the playoffs, with the extra off days, you're able to just throw your elite pitchers more, which I think disadvantages the Blue Jays a little bit more. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think that you know, looking at Texas with the dynamic duo at the front of the rotation, they are a scary team and maybe the scariest of teams to match up in the postseason in the American League.
You mentioned Toronto. They got a pretty average run differential, like not great. Does that scare you about them? And would you say them or maybe Detroit would be the team that you would kind of question the most going into the postseason?
Yeah, I would question Detroit more than Toronto. Toronto's got veteran pitchers who they got off to a little bit of a slow start. I think they have like 29-30 come-from-behind wins already this year, where their starters don't throw clunkers, but they might give up a little bit early. But then they, you know, a good bullpen doesn't just hold the lead, it holds the deficit. And so their bullpen, their middle relief comes in, and they shut down the opposition, allowing the offense to come back. And so I'd say right now, I would probably give the Blue Jays the advantage over the Tigers and over the Astros as far as ranking the teams in the American League. I still think the Yankees are a very good team, and they're going to get better at the deadline as well. But I think Toronto has really proven themselves to be one of the best teams in all of baseball, certainly one of the best teams in the American League.
Will there be a move, either a trade or a managerial firing in the next couple of weeks that's going to make you say, whoa, like not necessarily a Luka type trade, but a really kind of a shocker at this deadline.
Yeah, I think we're going to see Dylan Cease get traded away from San Diego, who's buying, but they may trade away Dylan Cease. And I think you may see a lot of teams buying and selling, or, you know, sellers like Arizona going to trade away, you know, Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly and Suarez and the trade away Naylor. But I think they should also buy. This is a window to get access to players with some controllability. So if a Joe Ryan's available, I think there are a lot of teams who are sellers, but who also think that they're going to try to win next year, that'll jump in and try to make a trade for a guy like Joe Kelly. So I think you're going to see teams doing both buying and selling, robbing Peter to pay Paul to create major league, you know, depth, but also trading away prospects to get controllability of players for the future, even if they're not currently a playoff team.
Steve, have you heard any big-name Rangers being floated out there?
Yeah, I heard DeGrom's gone. You guys all right?
So, hey, I floated it myself.
Yeah. I've heard people say, if Rangers fall out of it, should they trade DeGrom? I personally think that they're going to try to keep winning, and I think DeGrom got an oil change in his elbow, and he's good for another 5,000 miles. So, so I don't hear any big moves away from Texas. And the question is, how big will they play? You know, were they in on a Naylor? The Red Sox were in on Naylor, looking for first base, but they got two pitchers from Seattle and made the deal in a preemptive strike. But I haven't heard a lot of big names necessarily yet. I've heard a lot of speculation around bullpen help for them and end of the game help for them. And I don't know yet whether Class A is going to move. I know they've had him before, but Class A may be a guy that gets moved. And I would consider it if I'm Cleveland, just because of what I think I might get in the return in this year's closers market and the controllability through the 2028 season.
Steve, we love having you on as always, man. Thank you so much. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Enjoy the trade deadline. It's going to be fun.
Yes, sir. Former Mets GM Steve Phillips hosts his daily show, The Leadoff Spot, every morning on SiriusXM's MLB Network radio channel and on MLB Network. Nice job, Pepe, getting another whale this week. And the trade deadline is next Thursday. We'll be covering it right there in Oxnard, California. And speaking of Oxnard, we have morning show bets.
Oh,
what's going to happen with the station? Oxnard over-unders and a brand new Cowboys training camp song after this.
How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
You know what I like about the media? They think you can just dial 1-800 and get a quarterback.
Yeah, there you go.
If you're obsessed with football, you know you're getting it every day at this time. It's the Red Zone, 9:20, 20 minutes before crosstalk. with the KNC Masterpiece in Cali, where they preview their interview with Brian Schottenheimer here on 105.3 The Fan. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Belt, as we fly out on Sunday morning. Hopefully make it there for the padded practice in the afternoon. But Bobby has come up with some training camp over or unders that we need you all to vote on, because you know the radio station so well, at 877-881-1053. That's the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. We're going to go out there with the G-Bag Nation, and that coverage brought to you by Best Buy Windows and Siding and Greystone Roofing.
Got a number of over-under lines here. A lot of bets we can take, a lot of action. And the first one, you mentioned G-Bag. We got RJ Choppy here. Let's bring them together for the first one. The number of jokes RJ Choppy makes about G-Bag's guests, whether valid or not. The number of jokes he makes, 4.5 for the week. These have to be on the air. These are not off-air jokes about it.
We don't know their guest list. They're probably going to have Jerry.
Do you think the guest list matters for Choppy to somehow tie back at the opportunity to make fun of them?
It's a really good follow-up.
Like, oh, they have Jerry. Oh, that's, well, what, did they have time? I thought they were going to have the chef on out here, the guy who's pouring drinks.
You put it at 4.5?
4.5.
I'll go under and say it's like basically going to be 4.
Ooh. Ho, ho, ho.
I'm saying over by that laugh of his.
Yeah, I feel like... I think
they could get Jerry, or they could get Dak. They could get Micah. And RJ could turn it into a joke.
I feel like Jontay Porter here. I could just say whatever I want to.
And, yeah, you could.
I could just fix the wagering here.
You could. All right, next one here. Number of times the Cowboys communicate to us that we're too loud. So this could either be directly to us or to Tim, and then we hear from Tim about it. And this is at 1.5.
We'll hear about it once.
Under once, only because we're out there for 5 shows. Normally, right. It's like 8 or 10 shows.
I think we'll be pretty safe. We'll get a little later into the week. Forget a little bit.
If we don't get certain things, then I'm gonna take the over, and I'm gonna make sure I contribute to the over.
Oh baby, no. I'll just look. Whoever's in that close up room, but it's the big 2-5, man. That's the year, 2025. The big 2-5. You got to get a sound machine.
I agree with that. I will say, I feel like the biggest issue, because it's usually Chop, I feel like the biggest issue is the live reads.
Yep. Yeah.
It's less the content. Like, we're pretty laid back, relaxed. I will guess we're going to hear about it once midweek when we get a little too excited. And then it's like, all right, well,
yeah.
It'll remind us.
If the station was smart, they'd just split RJ's live reads for the week between Bobby and I.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, we just split. We split the
recorded.
Split the talent.
I'll just record them.
Yeah,
I'll record them. I'll pre-record them back here in the studio.
Yeah.
You forward over here.
You got.
Just whisper it.
Got to get the do the ASMR read. You could do that.
And we need Pepe to weigh in on some of these odds as well, because he knows us very well.
He does. He doesn't know training camp at all. Was the only thing I was thinking.
I thought I was packed and ready to go. We're leaving Sunday, right?
That's true. All right, Peyton can definitely weigh in on this one. Number of times Bobby either doesn't show up for a social outing or gets mad and leaves. 2.5.
Under. I'm only there 5 days, 4 nights.
But this includes, like, a social outing would not be a group thing necessarily. It may just be all 3 of us going to dinner. And then it's like, yeah, I'm not going out tonight. Or we're going somewhere, and then I just go, like, I'm mad, and I leave.
And what's the over-under?
2.5.
Well, you're going to do one for the Jerry party, right? Yep. You're not going to that.
Maybe. We'll see. Ruben, that's up to Ruben.
He'll do one other dinner night.
Right.
Will he leave? I'll say it's under. Like RJ said, shorter amount of days. And we don't have, like, the drinking opportunities because there's no Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, and now the one thing, obviously, is Bobby seems to get, I don't feel well on every trip.
Yeah. No one barks louder than Bobby over going out and doing party damage and then bails.
That's why I don't feel well, is because I do so much damage. I'm saying under.
Under.
Peyton?
I'll go under. I mean, I predict that this is going to be Bobby's best camp.
Oh, right look here. At that.
5 days out there, no weekends. He's going to be on his A game.
Number of times someone from the station switches rooms, 0.5. So this could be like the place can be fine, but somebody, maybe a Zach goes like, the AC, it's not cool enough in here. Like, just somebody asking to switch a room for whatever reason.
Do people usually do that?
I feel like at least once a trip, somebody will switch a room.
Look, man, I don't want to get in trouble on a Friday, okay? But Corey's alluded to this a couple times, mainly at me. for accommodations. Let me just
basically called you a snob.
Let me set the record straight. This staff does not over complain and bitch over little small little dumb things. All right. So if someone requests a change, I put validity into it. But Corey has said this is the best camp hotel. So I will say zero. Nothing will happen. But this is not a staff of whiners.
No.
When it comes to accommodations, we had people on staff who would whine about those types of accommodations. But I could do segments on places that we've stayed.
Yeah, I mean, okay? We've had ants, we've had condoms, we've had.
Well, RJ's just gonna do the segment. I've slept on cots. People have slept in closets.
Closets. Yeah. Yes, we've had mattresses on the ground. In the dumpster. We've had homeless people there sit outside. Yeah. We've had our police arresting people in the room next to us.
All this was at one place.
All this at one place. Yeah, I know. Yeah. On the same weekend.
Yeah.
It was all the same weekend.
Bassett wrote an online review after this. Did you ever read that, Bobby?
No, but he strikes me as a Bobby, yelper.
Bassett being gone makes his number zero.
Yeah.
Bassett was the biggest.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm going under on this one. Under. So we're all going under.
And I heard Tim killed it.
Number of times a G-bag or morning show host, so collectively, number of times a host is drunk this week, like for over the entire week. Not just has a drink, but like goes out and.
What's your over under?
It's 4.5.
Oh, under.
Oh. I don't know. Cause like you got to think.
Walchuk.
I will do at least one. Zach will do at least two. Eric will get in with Zach on one of them, and then there's the potential fifth.
I don't see Eric. Eric doesn't. I've been out to that beach bar with Eric, just like him and I. And let's just say there's other factors that limits Eric's drinking. Yeah. I think.
But Eric usually does give Eric will usually give one strong.
But like, we don't have the support. Friday, Saturday.
We don't have a weekend.
You have to factor this in real quick. G-Bag does have full shows all week. Rangers are West Coast next week. Okay, so I know they end at 5, but like it's still, you know, it's a full show.
That's what I mean. They got to be on the air at 1. Like G-Bag's not the ones who have to get up early. They can go out.
Yeah, they can.
That's why I included them in this for 4.5. I'm saying
no,
over.
It's under.
I'm saying over.
What about me and you? You just said you're looking forward to not drinking.
I might not. Yeah, I might not drink at all.
Right.
Now, if we do the Jerry party, obviously, whatever day that is.
What a segue. Look at that.
You know, then I'll have to drink.
So you're going under?
4.5's a lot.
Yeah.
With no weekend?
And Dawson?
And Dawson doesn't drink?
Broadus, he ain't going to do it.
I've never seen Broadus drink.
Yeah, this would be me and Zach carrying
outside
it,
of the,
potentially.
I drowned in cheetos today.
You mentioned the media party. Okay, so we have 7 hosts out there, and then we have Ruben, Carter, and DJ. Number of people who go to the media party, 6.5.
I don't want to go to the media party for the first time ever. I don't want to. Bobby is...
Do you know what day it is yet?
I believe it's... I think I do know. I don't know if I should say it on the air, though, so I'll just wait. But
because
yeah.
This turned from like stargazing. I don't want to sound like a spoiled brat. It's at Malibu. In Malibu. I mean, is it still at the same place?
At Nobu.
After the fires?
It feels kind of dirty going there.
Right? Slater sent us some video of like what's left of
I didn't see that.
Malibu. No. It wasn't that good of a video. But I'm like, is it still there? The media party for me turned into like stargazing. There was John McEnroe and Vince Vaughn. Like, nothing will ever beat the first one.
Oh, no, that's great.
I thought I'd died and gone to heaven.
Fantastic.
Here's what you got to remember,
I was blown away. But now it's sit in your little corner, grab some lettuce wraps, and watch all the media surround Jerry and Steven. And I'm not going to stand behind Clarence Hill for 45 minutes waiting to talk to Jerry
Jones. It's a pop-in, pop-out. It's not a four-hour night anymore.
Yeah,
there is a big media entertainment documentary release that's going to be happening close to this, though. So there might be.
This is why Bobby is tempting me a little bit. If I hear Shoddy may be there, or there's other Hollywood types because of the Netflix release, that's the only thing Bobby is tempting me over. But right now, I'm planning on skipping it for the first time.
Carter, Ruben, DJ, Zach, Eric. That's 5 easy.
Oh yeah, Kevin's out.
I'm 100%. I'm going.
They won't be there. Okay, so you're 100% 6. So now it's just one other person.
Dawson.
And I don't think DJ's actually out there. I think he flew back.
DJ is going back, though, in the middle of the week. I already checked on this, Peyton. Stay in your lane.
But I don't think the party's in the middle of the week.
I know when it is. And it's when he would be back.
Yeah. So DJ's probably out. Dawson, I think, will go.
He's gone, I think, the last couple times.
Yeah, so...
But I'm he's also the first to leave. He's out in
Well, it doesn't matter. He's going.
Yeah. I'm saying over.
Okay.
I think it's going to be over. Where do you go, Sean?
Are you going?
It's up to Ruben.
And what an insult it is. What an insult it is that of all the years, Bobby going for the first time ever depends on Ruben.
Yeah,
and
not
his attendance and not us.
Not us.
How insulting.
Yes, well,
I mean, I
insulting.
See you guys all the time. You know, it's like a unique opportunity.
Ruben's going to go. When else does he get 1942 and Sprite?
Yeah. Exactly. All right, last one here really quick before we get to the song. Number of times Sean is annoyed by Bobby's seafood rules. 4.5
Over.
4.5
Yeah.
No, just cut,
every
cut,
time we talk about
cut
food.
It off with just you. Cut yeah. it off with just annoyed me? With you.
Yeah, but that would be an easy, it's, okay, that's 30.
The seafood thing is, that's not going to happen. Over 4.
Okay, number of times you're annoyed with me, 20 and a half.
20 and a half?
Under, that's a lot.
That's
four,
a lot.
Four times a day? That's a not lot. Unusual.
Four times a day. I mean, you do good work.
Yeah, but I have also, like, there's stuff that comes with that. I'm T.O., baby.
No, Bassick's T.O. Bassick's T.O. Be original. Like this song. RJ Choppy getting it. So is Kevin Hagan on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. We crosstalk with the KNC masterpiece. Corey Majors looks like not Hogan, but the Undertaker sitting in the darkness.
Well, let
there.
Me tell you something, dude. We're out here in Oxnard running wild. A bunch of jabronis. We've been dropping them left, right, up, down, front, center with the 24-inch pythons. And what you gonna do when 105.3 The Fan's coverage in Oxnard runs wild on you? Yeah.
Did Hogan drop the jabronis, too, or just The Rock?
That was a shout-out to the Iron Sheik, who loved to call Hulk Hogan a jabroni.
Ooh, okay. Corey Majors, good morning. What's coming up?
Guys, right out of the gate, Vach Lombardi is going to join us for however long he likes. He can hang out with us today. So, and then we'll have Mickey at 10:20, and then we have Shoddy coming up at noon, and Will McClay is at 12:40, I believe. Yep. So we'll have Will McClay at 12:40 today.
And we asked Jaden Blue about people who said he was lazy.
Yeah, we talked to Jaden Blue yesterday as well.
I've enjoyed Mickey this week.
Why do you say it like that?
Because I usually don't.
God. That's my fault.
That's a couple times you think I won't step into the bear trap.
Or, let me say, my bluff.
Sorry, the mouse trap. And no, I don't care. But he's great stories. Yesterday, he just kept going on. And he's got all the stories. He talked about Micah not at the crawfish boil. So I've enjoyed it.
This is interesting. We always say this. For anybody that texts in and has thoughts, the ratings are consistent with Mickey, and they're good.
Mm.
So we just, like, that's one of the things that there are people that do listen and love it. And we see a lot of times, Kevin, on the fan text, we'll see things that say, man, I know it's football time now. Because I hear Mickey's voice, or I hear, like, we had Christy yesterday, and they were like, as soon as I hear Christy's voice, I know it's football season. So that's a good thing, man. Football season is a great time.
All right, Hagee, we got to talk Hogan.
Okay.
I went and found your instant reaction to it yesterday. Obviously, you got to try to balance, right, the racism and the complication.
For sure.
And just, I just want to kind of keep it to wrestling.
Okay.
So where's he on your 1, 2, 3, whatever, Rushmore in terms of, not importance, but your Kevin Hagelin wrestling rankings.
Oh, yeah. Because in terms of importance, he's number one.
Yeah. Is there a clear two?
I think you'd make a pretty strong argument that Stone Cold is number two. And, like, the only thing that prevents him from being number one is Hogan did it over such a longer period of time. But, like, when Austin was white hot, I think, like, he was selling more merchandise and more seats and everything like that. Just Hogan did it for longer. So I always kind of resonated, well, this probably won't surprise you because you know how I am as a person. I really resonated with bad guy Hulk Hogan. And when he turned into a bad guy, we talked about it yesterday. It's amazing. The two things that sparked wrestling in the mid to late 90s happened within 3.5 weeks of each other. That was the Austin 316 and Hogan turning into a bad guy. Those sent those two federations off their own trajectory. But Hulk Hogan was the best good guy of the 80s and the best or second best bad guy of the 90s. That's crazy longevity.
It's crazy. And like I said, that him at what, Bash at the Beach or whatever.
Yes, 96.
Him turning heel. That was like the most shocking like sports moment
so
I ever saw.
I kid you not, my mom ran into my room to ask if everything was okay, because me and my friends were like, oh my God! We were freaking out.
Or what, 16?
Yeah. And so she's like, what's wrong? And we're like, oh, it's a bad guy. And I think she was like, I have no idea what you're saying. So and,
tell us, educate us on the Hogan behind the scenes of, you know, Choppy was trying to tell teammate stories, obviously divorce and family life stuff. But just in terms of the industry with the people, I saw Brutus the Barber being like, hey, Ric Flair broke down yesterday and it really hit him hard. But Brutus the Barber was like, I wish we had time to mend our relationship. All the Hogan Vince stuff. Like what was all that in reality?
So Brutus the Barber Beefcake got taken everywhere Hogan went and probably owes a big chunk of his career to Hulk Hogan, but then he started selling unauthorized merchandise and maybe faking that signature a little bit. And ooh, I think that's why they had a falling out, because like, hey dude, I carried you all this way and then you're gonna like go behind my back and get some stuff. I think the people's biggest issue with him is they say he like held wrestlers down, and I get that, but like, I could name you so many other wrestlers that held people down. Shawn Michaels did it. Ric Flair did it. John Cena did it. So many wrestlers at the top held another person down. Well, guess what?
And what does that mean, holding them down?
So essentially, like, that person who thinks they're ready, and you prevent them from going to the next step. Well, I mean, the ultimate person they needed to take that next step was the Ultimate Warrior. And what happened? For the first time in his, like, you know, good guy WWF career, he did the job and he laid down 1, 2, 3 for the Warrior. And guess what? That didn't work. That's not his fault. He went out there the biggest stage possible and he's like, you're better than I am.
What, it very much like Tiger? Like everybody else benefited from the fact that that guy was still at the top?
And I think that's one of the things that you saw yesterday. RJ, I know you were saying like you're not here for any Hogan slander, and I totally get that. But even the people who don't like him, they were all like, hey, I appreciate that he made the business the way it is today.
Yeah, like my thing is like, yeah, it. He was like objectively, not a very good dude, right? Like he was kind of an egomaniac. He was he said racist things,
and he was a liar as well.
He was a liar, and you know he wouldn't. That doesn't work for me, brother. You know he wouldn't put anybody over. You know, like that is all true. That doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, he gave me a childhood of memories that when I was a kid, we didn't know any of that stuff. So it doesn't matter to me. Because, you know, as a kid, those memories can't be taken away. It matters now, but those memories can't be taken away.
See, and that's kind of where I am. I will say, you did mention that doesn't work for me, brother. Starrcade 1997, the biggest story in the history of WCW. And he was like, no, I don't want to lose to Sting fair and square. And that really like undercut like 18 months of story work they did. So I will agree with you on that. That he really screwed that up.
But does that just override the determined, why does he get to decide or just stop what has been written?
Okay, so like in WCW, he had creative control in his contract.
Oh.
And so can you imagine how cool that would be? Sean, going into your interviews and you got to like tell people what they were going to say, and you're like, here's the question I'm going to ask and here's what I'm going to need you to say. But like,
that'd be awesome.
In the WWF, people argued he held other people down. I would argue, who was a bigger draw than him for like 8 years? It wasn't even close. And so I don't think he was holding people down as much as he was like, yeah, go for it. See what you can do. How did that work out?
So my power ranking list that I was going to ask is, who had Hulk Hogan yesterday, dead, age of 71, cardiac arrest. I thought he had the worst finishing move for any superstar ever.
So, you have to, okay.
No, that was the best part of it, Corey, ripping off the shirt. The leg, the boot, and then the leg drop.
Oh, yeah.
Who has worse finishing moves than that of the stars?
I thought Roddy Piper's sleeper was always really kind of soft. And you have to remember, in the 1980s, like a body slam was a finishing move. Now you have to do like some insane thing to drop somebody through a flaming table. But back then, like if I jumped off of the top rope and hit you or suplexed you, you're done.
That was
he a bad? Was he a bad technical wrestler?
You know what's really funny about that? The answer very clearly feels like it's yes.
Yeah.
but all these people will release footage from these matches he had in Japan, and he's doing all of these crazy wrestling moves, and you're like, where the hell was that? I never saw that in my entire life. So I would agree with that. Like, one of the things we talked about yesterday, RJ, was he's clearly a far inferior technician to Ric Flair, but Ric Flair didn't draw for S compared to what Hulk Hogan did. The day of WrestleMania 5, him and the Macho Man had the biggest pay-per-view at the time in the history of wrestling. That same day, Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat wrestled in one of the greatest matches of all time in the Superdome in front of 5,000 people.
I never cared about Ric Flair. Now, Flair was different. WCW as the stepchild, and I was like, that minor league stuff.
But when did they not become the stepchild? Hogan. When they got Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Right,
83 straight weeks.
It was crazy because WCW was like, I got that confused with NWA.
Sure.
And he had somebody in a cage hanging from the top of the ring. Flair did. There was somebody in like a cage.
Oh, yeah. They did that a lot.
Just hanging.
Yeah.
It was like a manager. You can't get them. No manager interference. You're going to be in the cage here.
Kevin, because of the N-word and everything he did and said, how much yesterday did you feel like on the show or social media-wise you had to hold back of praise? Like, I think ballsy, Choppy, just wearing straight up, you know.
Like having to qualify everything to, like, I know this, but this. You know, I did feel like we had to do that.
Yes.
Yeah, I just sent over, I should have done it yesterday. I filmed it yesterday. I just sent over one of my Best Buy Windows and Siding confessionals.
Well.
Was kind of about that. But I'm curious y'all's take about that as well, because it's really hard for me to kind of reconcile. But, like, you think about Michael Jackson. He has a Cirque du Soleil. And he did awful things. And so, like, can you separate the art from the artist?
Yeah.
And I sometimes struggle with that. But yesterday, I think I was just really bummed and thought about what he did for the wrestling industry, because I'd also reconciled for, like, the last 10 years what a bunch of terrible other things he had done.
Yeah, I said this with going back with Theo Huxtable clips. Like, I didn't go back to the Cosby Show Theo clips and watch them and be like, well, Cosby's a piece of crap. Like, I was,
And
I'm not going to do it with, I don't do it with Kramer when I'm watching Seinfeld, you know?
You just remember how you felt in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And laugh at the character.
Because Kramer isn't the racist Michael Richards is.
See, that's a fascinating point.
Tolo Mark says, separate the art from the artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good way to say it. All right. Yeah. The other top two moments all time, Hogan. Is it the? Does it have to be the Andre Slam as next to
Mr. T?
So this
Rocky
is just
III.
See, this is probably how old you are. For me, the next one is. I mean, look, I'm old. The next one is WrestleMania 18 against The Rock, when The Rock gives him the rock bottom, and then he kicks out and hulks up for the first time
Boiler!
In like 10 years. People lost their effing mind in the Sky Dome. It looked like that building was going to fall apart with how excited people were. So I would put that second, then probably the Andre body slam. But RJ's right, for Rocky III, do you know that Hulk Hogan got fired from the WWE for doing Rocky III by Vince McMahon's dad?
For what, like breaking a contract?
Yeah, they were like, you can't leave the road and go film this. And he's like, well, I'm gonna. And he goes, then you're not coming back. And he goes, okay, see ya. And then he became even more popular off of that and went on his journey.
It's the KNC Masterpiece from Cali with an absolutely loaded show, including Brian Schottenheimer. We will talk to you on Monday from California. When we fly out this weekend, everyone have a great and safe weekend. KNC is next.